You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Night two of a road back-to-back. Third game in four nights, James Harden, the league MVP, running on fumes, put up 57, and it still wasn't enough against a Memphis Grizzlies squad that even with the win improves to just 29-42. The Rockets with the loss, just their second in the last 14 games, fall to 45-27. Memphis 126, Houston 125 in what can only be described as a gut punch of a game, especially with how the Rockets lost in overtime on Wednesday night. With that, welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary, for better or for worse, on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Tonight's show on this Wednesday evening is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use the code DRIBBLE to enter the Bracket Battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. As we chat late this Wednesday evening, again, the Rockets lost in Memphis 126-125. There are some reasons for the loss. Memphis at 29-42, not an awful team, even though they had their share of injuries. Mike Conley, Jonas Valanciunas, there is some talent there. Even Chandler Parsons, who at this point his knees appear shot, but give him credit, 11 points, including three huge threes, two in overtime after the Rockets had taken a lead, plus 13. Even though the Grizzlies don't bring it on an every night basis, in this one, unfortunately, the Rockets let them believe in the early going, and that was enough. Despite an insane comeback led by James Harden, the Rockets trailed by 18 in the fourth quarter, somehow found their way back at both the end of regulation and in overtime. In both situations, James Harden did some insane things in the last minute of the game. And unfortunately, in overtime, after the Rockets somehow scored 5 points in about 10 seconds, the referees called Clint Capela for a foul on Valanciunas immediately after Valanciunas went over the back and had both of his hands on Clint Capela's back. That was not a call. Then somehow Capela was called with 0.1 left, a situation where it's normally no blood, no foul, for in a tie game, what ended up being the determining free throws. Well, free throw. Valanciunas made the first, then intentionally missed the second, and that was it. For the game, the Grizzlies had 39 free throw attempts. The Rockets had 20. They made all 20, but the story, the Grizzlies had 19 more attempts, and by and large, in my opinion, the officiating was poor. If you follow me on Twitter, at Ben Dubose, you have a good idea of my opinions on the officials tonight. It wasn't good. It wasn't as if the Rockets were just settling for threes. No, James Harden drove the lane repeatedly. He just did not get the same benefit of the doubt, the same standard that Mike Conley, Valanciunas, the guys in the Grizzlies had. Valanciunas overall had 17 free throws overall, 33 points, 15 boards. Conley, 35 points, 8 assists. So between the two of them, Conley and Valanciunas, 68 points. Kudos to the Grizzlies for a great trade at the deadline. There's no doubt that Mark Gasol is not capable of giving you, I don't care what benefit of the doubt he gets from the officials, 33-15. Valanciunas stepped up. He was a beast. And even if he got a few calls that I don't think the Rockets got on their end, it was still a hell of an outing from him. And with the Grizzlies, even though they're certainly not going to be a playoff team this year, down the road, you get a younger guy who has more upside. That was a pretty savvy move that they made at the deadline in the Gasol-Valanciunas swap. As far as the Rockets are concerned, though, I find it hard in hindsight to go too on and on about the officials because really, while the calls were bad, what you were hoping for was a way to survive. The reality is that the Rockets entered having won 12 of 13. The Grizzlies are largely in tank mode. And for Houston to even be close in that particular situation, there's a lot more going on than just the officials. And that doesn't mean the officials should be let off the hook. I certainly do not believe that. And if you go by my Twitter timeline, clearly I am not letting them off the hook. I thought in particular calling in a tie game with 0.1 left in overtime the foul that won the game for Valanciunas moments after he had two hands in Capella's back, and that level of contact was allowed. That was deplorable. It was awful. At the same time, even on night two of a road back-to-back, a 3-4 stretch, the Rockets have to be better. And really, it goes down to a common theme we've said all season long. Get more rebounds. Memphis 51, Houston 39. It's tough to win many games when you're out-rebounded by 12. When you have that level of discrepancy, and of course a lot of it comes down to physicality. It also speaks to the quality of looks you're getting in many cases because you're not really able to protect the rim. A night after Capella had 26 and 11, he was dominated by Valanciunas, even though he didn't deserve the foul at the end. At the same time, Jonas was more physical, and that's what led to it. Clint on the game, 14 and 10, but again, way too often, and it's the same theme that we have seen over the past week with Boogie Cousins and to an extent with DeAndre Ayton. He was pushed around. He's not the same guy as he was before the thumb issue, and I don't think it's the thumb surgery. I don't think he's medically not right. I think the more reasonable explanation is that somehow over not playing for 5.5, 6 weeks, either physically he lost a bit of weight, maybe he's out of sorts mentally. I'm not sure what it is, but he is not the same guy in regards to his toughness that what we saw from him in December and January. He is just not there. We talked about it in the Boogie and Ayton matchups, and I thought that was the case again tonight. And that's one thing that really shouldn't be as impacted by the scheduling circumstances. Because, yeah, on paper, this is a classic schedule loss, 2 back-to-back on the road, 3-4 nights, all that kind of stuff. All of it is very valid. It's not that I am overlooking that. It's just the Rockets at this point in the year, and especially knowing that they started 4-7, 11-14, all those types of things. The fact that after all of that, you're not able to overcome tonight. This is the type of game you need to offset some of the ones you let go earlier in the year. And in terms of rebounding, battling on the glass, that's one of the things that should be within your control. Now, if your legs are tired, you might not make as many threes, although led by Harden's late run, the Rockets ended up for a third straight game, breaking 40% from behind the arc, 21-48 tonight. Unfortunately, they just did not control the basics, the little things. And of those things that are within their control, I think it starts with being tougher near the rim, getting more boards. And a lot of times you can point to Capella getting switched out onto the perimeter, although they're not doing that as much this year, or the relative lack of size, the power forward spot, that kind of stuff. No, tonight, the final play of the game, while, again, it should have been a foul on Capella, the fact that Valanciunas was even in position to get the rebound was a reflection of the fact that he was tougher. He outworked Capella to that board. And while he didn't deserve the call, that's a blatant double standard, and that speaks poorly to the officials. As far as what happened, it shouldn't have even been to where he got the ball a foot from the basket and potentially been within a layup of winning the game if he was able to finish, which he probably would not have. Again, personally, I would not have let that level of minimal contact decide the game at that stage. It's completely incompatible with, really, I would say, the history of the NBA in those circumstances. But by and large, it goes back to the theme that we saw all game long, which is the Rockets were out-toughed. Valanciunas 33-15, Capella 14-10. That discrepancy, it just can't be there. And the Rockets, they were going to rest Nene. They brought him off the shelf in the second half, but just 6 minutes, was -7. It looked like he wasn't quite ready to play. You could tell that he was told going in that it was an off night for him. And Memphis, just over the balance of 53 minutes, 48 plus overtime, even though their record is nowhere close, they were the tougher team. Hell, Joaquin Noah off the bench had a fantastic showing for those guys. His energy in his 17 minutes, 9 points, 8 boards. Just like Chandler Parsons, that's a guy who you thought was on his last NBA legs, and somehow he played well near the rim tonight. In my opinion, that's where the Rockets lost this game. The Grizzlies were a lot tougher. They got to the loose balls, and even though they're a worse team, some of it is understandable based on scheduling circumstances. The Grizzlies are playing at home. They were very hot early on. In the first quarter, some of it was rebounding, but also they shot 70% from three-point range. And of course, you let a team like that hang around. The crowd gets involved. They think maybe this can be our night. Of course, they're seeing a team in the Rockets that is a contender. They've won 12 of their last 13. There's a lot of circumstances. And once the Grizzlies had that fast start, that allowed them to kind of hang around. But over the balance of the game, the Rockets had plenty of chances to make runs. late in the fourth quarter and in overtime, the Rockets, they got back in it, and yet they just could not get over the hump because it seemed like every time they were right there, the Grizzlies made a play at the rim, either to secure a loose ball or, in the case of the final possession, to get a shot inches from the cup. And in that case, they got the benefit of the doubt from the officials, and that's something that happened too often. But as far as the Rockets and what they can control, this one's going to sting because even with the bad calls, even with some of the things that happened that were outside of their control, such as the Grizzlies' hot start from three, if they have a better effort on the glass, if they're able to match the physicality at the rim from Valanciunas, from Joaquin Noah, then Houston probably wins this game, and it's one of the more feel-good wins of the year. It would have been 13-14. Instead, it's a loss that now drops the Rockets into a tie in the loss column with Portland for the number three seed. And by the way, Portland has the tiebreaker on Houston in a two-team scenario, which it is now, based on winning two of the three games this season. They also have a relatively easy close. So this is a costly loss. Again, I know the Rockets have played well of late. This is just one game. But at the same time, for a team that's trying to overcome the poor starts of the year, the 4-7, the 11-14, those first 2 months, you can't afford to have losses like this on top of what you've already given away. This was a chance to steal one back. James Harden did everything he possibly could, and as happened too often throughout the game, the Grizzlies just wanted it a bit more, and they were a bit too tough at the rim. Tip your hat, and if you're the Rockets, you have to realize that it's the same problem, the rebounding that's been there all season long, and if you can't fix it, well, there's a good chance that the problem that's been there all season long may ultimately be your demise. Now, it wasn't a dreadful night for the Rockets. There were a few things that went right, most notably starting with James Harden and his 57 points. We'll get to that momentarily. But for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at DraftKings, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And as we chat late this Wednesday, we're now only about 12 hours away, and probably a lot sooner than that by the time you're listening to the start of the NCAA tournament. And if you're listening before it starts, then I strongly encourage you to either go to DraftKings.com or download the DraftKings app and go to the Bracket Buster Challenge, or the Bracket Battle Challenge, excuse me, getting my bees tongue-tied there, but you can fill out a bracket at any time before the opening tip. And with DraftKings being the leader in daily fantasy sports, they have got a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everybody fills out a bracket during the tournament, so you might as well do it with an award-winning app and website with tons of free prizes. This is the first time ever they're doing the Bracket Battle promotion. Again, up to $64,000 in prizes. If you're a big U of H fan, which now that my school, University of Missouri, is out of it, I'm certainly cheering for U of H. If you want to cheer them on or just have an excuse to watch the games, then get involved. Play with us, and I say us, we've got a private Locked On Rockets group if you would like to join. You can see the pin, which is the password, on both the Twitter and Facebook pages for Locked On Rockets. And as far as how to do it, y'all know the drill by now. Before tip-off of Thursday's first game, just pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. The best part, of course, you can play for free just by using the promo code DRIBBLE. And again, you can even join our private Locked On Rockets group to compete for bragging rights with me and the rest of Rockets Twitter. You can get that pin either at the Locked On Rockets Twitter page, at Locked On Rockets, or at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. As far as what to do, again, it's pretty simple. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use the code DRIBBLE to enter the Bracket Battle promotion for free, and then compete for your share of $64,000 in prizes. Again, that's code DRIBBLE to enter Bracket Battle for free, only at DraftKings, our sponsors for today, the guys who bring you the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions do apply, and see DraftKings.com for further information. Jumping back into Wednesday night's relatively depressing recap of the 126-125 loss suffered by the Rockets in Memphis, just their second in the past 14 games. Unfortunately, a costly one, even though it's night two of a road back-to-back, a 3-4 night stretch. Well, it drops you into a tie in the loss column with the Blazers for the number three seed, and if you end up tied with them in a two-way scenario, well, they beat you 2 of 3 times, so the Blazers have the tiebreaker. So even though the Rockets, they're tired, there's some dead legs, this was a game they needed to get, and they ultimately did not control everything that they could control. They certainly did not get the benefit of the doubt from the officials. Again, Memphis had nearly double the free throw attempts, 39-20, and no, it was not a game the Rockets excessively settled for threes. James Harden drove hard all night. He just did not get the same standard that the Grizzlies did on their shots near the rim. So that's frustrating. If the officials were better, do I think the Rockets win this game? Probably. But for a Grizzlies squad that's 29-42 and a Rockets team that even with the loss is 45-27, there's so many other things that even with the poor officiating should not have let it come to that, especially when you factor in that James Harden scored 57. And as I look at it, it's a tough game to contextualize because you can look at it one of two ways. The glass half empty view would be that, boy, James Harden, 57 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 18 of 39 shooting, 46 minutes. He did all these incredible things, bring the Rockets back from down 18 in the fourth quarter, but it seemed like they were just going to check out and say this is a scheduled loss. Then down 6 with only a couple of minutes left in overtime, brought them back again to tie the game before that ticky-tack foul on Capella in the final second, the final tenth of a second at point one. You did all these great things, a legendary MVP performance, and yet the Rockets didn't win the game anyway. You played Clint Capella 43 minutes. You played Chris Paul 41. You played Daniel House and PJ Tucker 39. You put so much mileage on all of these guys, and you didn't even win the game. And while there's no back-to-backs for a while, it's not like there's any extended layoff anyway. You have a game on Friday, a pretty big one against a Spurs team that, at least until tonight, had been playing very, very well, had won 9 in a row. Now, they did lose at home tonight to the Heat, which snaps that and keeps them 3 games back of Houston in the loss column as far as teams behind them for the number 3 or number 4 spot in home court in the first round. As I'm recording this, the Thunder are losing at home as well to the Toronto Raptors by 18 in the third quarter. So unless there's a dramatic turnaround there, then the Rockets will have a 3-game lead. That should stay on Oklahoma City and San Antonio in the loss column as far as separation for home court advantage in the first round. For Houston, though, it's not just about home court in the first round. You also want to get on the opposite side of the bracket from Golden State, who's currently at 1. So letting Portland pass you for 3, that could definitely be costly. Even with the loss tonight, though, the Spurs are 3 games back. If they beat you Friday in Houston, well, they will have won 10 of 11, and they'll be only 2 games back of you in the loss column. And as I said last night, the Rockets have a pretty tough schedule coming up. Milwaukee, Denver, home and home with Sacramento, then at the Clippers on night 2 of a back-to-back, mercifully the final back-to-back of the year for the Rockets. So you really don't have extended time off for a while. It's every other game, which isn't as taxing as a back-to-back, but it's not like you have a true recharge day anyway. You do want to get guys healthy. There's a reason why they rested against Shumpert and Nene on the front end of the back-to-back. Tonight, I haven't mentioned it, but they did not have Eric Gordon on night 2 of the back-to-back. He's had ongoing knee issues this year. Definitely a guy who's been shooting nearly 50% from 3 this month. Eric Gordon's absence could have cost them. And so you don't have any time off for a while, and you had this Superman James Harden performance. It still wasn't enough, and you put up all of these minutes. Yeah, I can see a case that to go through all of that and not get the result, and then you have a big game less than 48 hours away against San Antonio, a team that, while you catch a bit of a break, them losing tonight, it's not like they're just a distant memory. They're only 3 games back, and it'll be within 2 if they win this game on Friday. Yeah, it really stings. The other side, the glass half full, is that despite having everything go against them, again, the Grizzlies, besides just the benefit of the doubt with the officiating, the huge rebounding discrepancy, the fact that they shot 70% from 3 in the first quarter, they got up 18 points early in the fourth, the Rockets kept coming back over and over again. First with Gerald Green hitting 3 threes early in the fourth quarter. That got it back to within 12. Then Harden had the stupendous run at the end of regulation and in overtime. The fact that the Rockets would not quit, it speaks well to their character. I go back and forth. There was a point in the game in which I said to come all the way back and then to lose on a couple of incredibly unlucky Chandler Parsons threes in overtime. That felt like just such a gut punch. And then all of a sudden, Harden answered back and inexplicably tied the game before that ridiculous foul in the final tenth of a second on Capella. So really, I'm torn. The logical side of my brain says the mileage adds up. Now, with Harden in particular, the fact that he went 9 of 17 from 3, went to the free throw line 12 times, made all of those. If there's one thing you've been worried about since the All-Star break, his efficiency hasn't been there, and I know that's kind of been correlated with the injuries to his wrist, his neck, those types of things. Well, tonight, he showed you that he's got that extra gear still in him. I don't know that you want to ask him to be Superman every single night the way he was in December and January during his streak of 32 games with 30-plus points. But if you need him, he's still capable of digging deep. He is not too hurt that he can't do that. And so as the Rockets head towards the playoffs and are definitely going to get in some sticky spots, I do think it was a really strong reflection of James Harden's character that despite not getting the calls he wanted, despite the team having so many opportunities to fold and say, not our night, he kept punching back. Even a year or two ago, I'm not sure if that's something James Harden does. Now at 29 years old, he continues to evolve, not just as a shooter, the floater game, all the technique that we've talked about, but also as a leader. The fact that he didn't check out tonight, the fact that the Rockets, despite having every excuse in the world to fold up, kept coming back, that speaks really well to them. And if you want to have the glass half full view that even with so many things going wrong, they wouldn't fold, they had every opportunity, if not for a couple of just subpar whistles at the worst time, they probably win this game and it might be the feel-good win of the year. If you want to argue that, personally, I can't say that you're wrong. However, the concern I have with making that argument and buying in wholeheartedly to the optimistic view is that you've seen these problems, especially the rebounding, that have been there all season long. And I have had so many episodes now where we've said this is the game that they need to take to offset what they did earlier in the year. And yet, every single time it seems to get to one of those swing moments, they aren't able to do it. And it's not so much that it's a reflection of what they're doing poorly now. To some degree, this is the kind of loss that happens to everyone, and it's more a reflection of the 11-14 start, the 4-7, the things we've been discussing all season long, the fact that their margin of error is so compromised relative to what it should be. That's why I have such a hard time in what should be, you know, I do like their intestinal fortitude. I like the response we saw tonight. They clearly wanted the game. I like their DNA, the leadership. James Harden, Chris Paul, even without Eric Gordon, I thought they responded well. Chris had 18, 7-7, had a couple of big threes, a stretch in the second half where it felt like the Rockets were about to fade. He had 7 points in a row. Again, he played 41 minutes. Harden played 46. They wanted it. If the Rockets ultimately come up short in their goal of winning a title this year, it won't be because they didn't want it enough, at least in terms of Chris Paul and James Harden. It will be because they weren't physical enough. They didn't control the backboards, and or they were compromised by their poor start to the year, which at this point gives them no margin of error to where a loss like this might end up being the difference in the number three seed with the Blazers, at least on paper. Now, I know they don't have CJ McCollum, but on paper, they don't appear to have as tough of a stretch as what the Rockets have starting really Friday. I know they have New Orleans Sunday, although that's a road game. You can't say that's an easy one for the same reason you couldn't say this one in Memphis was easy tonight. But really, for the next seven games or so, six of them, San Antonio on Friday, even with a loss, that's a hot team. It's Greg Popovich, then Bucks, Nuggets, two against the Kings, a home-and-home, and then Clippers, night two of a road back-to-back. The Blazers have an easier path, and even though I think the Rockets are a better team, if the Blazers get an advantage seed and or a home court, a hypothetical matchup, that might be enough. And at the end of the day, it's not this loss that does it in a vacuum. It's the fact that you had so many losses early in the year that you weren't able to overcome. And so those issues, the Rockets are getting better now. Certainly Daniel House, Iman Shumpert, they provided a boost of late. The Rockets, they've done a great job rebuilding on the fly this season to fortify their depth, which was such an issue in the first 2 months. At this point, though, they are still struggling to fully overcome it. In the playoffs, hopefully the desire, the will we saw from James Harden, Chris Paul, even when it seemed like they had nothing left, being able to throw it from anywhere, James Harden, it was amazing how many huge shots he made. All of that speaks really well to the character of the team. They want it. It's just about, in many ways, emotions versus math. And in this case, the combination of certainly the start to the year, we talk about the record that still works against them, but also the math of overcoming the early deficit, the rebounding disadvantage, and even though James Harden and Chris Paul put everything they had into the game on night two of a road back-to-back, and a third and four nights, it still wasn't enough. And how does it ultimately end up for the Rockets? I honestly don't know. Because part of it, I think there's going to be a lot of slumped shoulders to play that well and fight that hard and come away with an L. That's really tough. You could also say, wow, they refuse to quit. Really, as far as what direction it goes, we won't fully know until next Friday or this Friday, two nights from now, against the Spurs, and then, of course, in the games from that. Will there be a toll from the physical side of things or hangover effect? We'll have to wait and see. I don't know the answer, but I'd be dumb to write it off. It's definitely a possibility, because while this game showed you a lot to be encouraged about, it also leaves a really, I would describe it as a nagging pit in the back of your stomach that has this team cost itself too much already. That's what I keep going back to. We'll have more talk in a few moments as we close out the show, the third segment of our usual 3 points recap as we turn to the standings and where the Rockets go from here. Before we close out the show, though, I do want to throw a shout out to our podcast listening providers, because remember, if you want to get all episodes of this show, you can subscribe to Locked On Rockets at so many places. But one partner I strongly encourage you to check out is the new Himalaya podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you can really use Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and their new features. They give you so many options, so much customization every single day. So download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Final thoughts as we close out Wednesday's relatively depressing episode, 126-125 defeat in overtime. I think we said about all that can be said. There's a lot of things within this individual game that were weird, but they're not going to be replicated. The Rockets, they dug themselves a huge hole. The rebounding, minus 12. The shooting from Memphis in the early going. James Harden scoring 57. As great as that was, it's not really realistic to expect the MVP, as great as he is, to do that every single night. In both directions, also the officiating, Memphis having nearly double the free throw attempts despite being nowhere near the caliber of star players, and in my opinion, not being as aggressive, at least relative to James Harden on the drives, looked like a double standard to me. There's a lot of little things within this game that are one-offs. The loss stings, but as far as what it means for Friday against the Spurs, which is a big game, or anything else down the line, this was just a weird game that, while it sucks to lose, and it would have been really uplifting had the Rockets found a way to win it, at the end of the day, it's one game. I'm not sure how much it truly changes in terms of what we know about this basketball team. And really the biggest flaw, the minus 12 rebounding discrepancy, that's been there all season long. That's something that they just need to get better at. And if they can't, then it may be the fatal flaw. We have talked about this for quite a while now. The reason their defense has gone from top 10 a year ago to bottom 10 this year, because their rebounding has gone from near the best in the league to now one of the worst. It's been an issue all season long. There are a multitude of reasons for it. Hopefully they can figure it out. I think tonight some of the issues may have been a little exaggerated based on the scheduling factors, and I think Capella can be better. Maybe some of it's just time off. He needs to get stronger, hit the weight room a bit more. Maybe he's mentally rusty as well. Whatever the case, again, three times in the past week, Boogie Cousins, DeAndre Ayton, now Jonas Valanciunas. Capella has been outplayed, and he needs to be better. That's about all that we can say about tonight's game from an X's and O's perspective. I don't think it really radically changes anything all that much. The really intriguing angle is what it means for the standings, because as mentioned, the Rockets got a little bit of help with the Spurs losing. It looks like, as I'm recording this, but it's not final yet, that the Thunder are going to lose to the Raptors. So the Rockets will stay three up on their closest competition as far as holding for a top four seed, which means home court advantage in the first round. But with Portland now being tied with you at 27 losses, all of a sudden, you're not really in control of your own destiny for the number three seed in the Western Conference, because they've won two of the three games against you this season, and the Rockets and Blazers only play three times. So if it's a two-team tie, division tiebreaker doesn't come into play. Portland would win it based on head-to-head. And on paper, that's a bad scenario, because of course you want to be the three rather than the four. However, there are scenarios. Keep in mind, the Nuggets are only a half game back of the Warriors for the number one seed. And the Nuggets have been playing a lot better ball lately, more focused, I would say, their big comeback against the Celtics than the Warriors, who it just seems like they flip the switch on and off depending on who the opponent is and whether they're fixated on a given game. They also have a few injury issues that they're dealing with at the moment. So, as far as where we go from here, the schedule's about to get tougher for the Rockets, and if they can get separation between themselves and anyone in the bottom four, that's San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Utah, and the Clippers, that's certainly a big deal, because I think you definitely want to have home court advantage in the first round. I don't care how good you think you are, and the Rockets have won a lot of tough games, they're veteran-laden, all those types of things. Having to go without home court every single round for four series, that's really, really tough. You need to get at least one, in my opinion, where you start off the series in your own bed, playing in your own gym, hopefully finish that up in five or six games, and then, you know, save the bullets as far as the big road games you've got to win for later on in the postseason. If you lose this game Friday to San Antonio, it's all of a sudden become massive based on letting this one slip away tonight. Because then, if you let the Spurs get back within two of you, Actually, I think the Jazz, even though they've played fewer games, they're only at 29 losses. So actually, even though the Rockets are 3 games clear of the Spurs and about to be 3 games clear, it looks like, knock on wood, of the Thunder. You're only 2 games clear of the Jazz. All of a sudden, if you lose this game Friday and you let the teams at the bottom of the West come within a game or two of you, that's really stressful. And that's why this game really stings to me. It's not that this game is devastating because you had to have a 3, you had to have a 4, because really a lot of it is subject to change. Really, again, I'd rather have the 4 than the 3 if it turns out that Golden State is the 2, and that's incredibly plausible with Denver being the 1. There's a lot over these final 3 weeks, a ton of twists and turns that can happen. The only hard and fast rules I have, number one, I do think you need to stay in the top 4 because I don't think going 4 straight series without home court advantage is going to end well. You need at least, especially with what we saw from Chris Paul in the postseason a year ago, the injuries catching up with him, even before the hamstring, he had an issue with the Achilles that I thought might curtail his season a bit early. You don't want to have to tax yourself too much even before you play Golden State. So I think holding on to a top 4 seed, that's a big deal. And the other reason why it would behoove you to win as many games as you could, you want to be in control of your destiny when you get to the final 3 or 4 games of the year. Because if you had won this game tonight, I'm not going to say that one game, it's the end of the world. And even though the Blazers have an easier schedule, they don't have CJ McCollum. Maybe that catches up with them over the next couple of weeks. We'll have to wait and see. But let's say, for example, that the Warriors do fall to the 2 seed and the Nuggets get to the 1, which is incredibly plausible at this point. Again, as I'm recording, there's basically a half game difference between those 2 teams. Well, if you win, then you have fully within your control, you can lose a game or two if that's in your interest and fall to the 4 seed and get your matchup with Denver in the second round instead of Golden State, that type of thing. Or if it looks like, you know, that you're on the 3 line, but then Oklahoma City, who I think we all agree that even with their struggles now, if they're healthy, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, they're by far the most imposing team of those bottom 4. Well, yeah, I'd rather be the 4 and play a 5 that's not Oklahoma City than the 3 and play a 6 that's Oklahoma City. The point is, if you take care of business, then you get to the last 4 games and it's within your control. You can go all out. You can call off the dogs. There are a number of ways that you can go. Whereas if you let many more games slip away, I'm not going to say that it's gone now. This is just 1 game. But the point is, the margin of error is significantly reduced based on 4-7, 11-14. I know I've said that like 5 times in this podcast, but it's true. Well, you get to the end of the season and you may desperately have to win those games against New York, against Phoenix, when the schedule finally eases up over the last 3 or 4 games. And at that point, then it's out of your control. You just have to win to hopefully get in the top half of the bracket, get home court, and then from there, you're at the mercy of whatever the hell happens with all those other teams, and you're just kind of crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. That is not an optimal scenario. That's why this game would have been nice. I'm not going to say it's off the table as far as getting to a point where you feel pretty good in terms of controlling your own destiny down the stretch, but after losing this one tonight, you probably need to take one, like, say, at Milwaukee or at the Clippers on night 2 of a road back-to-back, that kind of thing, to offset what should have been. I know the scheduling factors were tough, but the Rockets are a much better team than the Grizzlies. This should have been a win. It was not. And now, for the Rockets to get where they need to go, they're probably going to need to offset that with something else down the line. Can they do it? I hope they can. Again, they've overcome a lot this year, and even with the loss, they've won 12 of their last 14. It's not like everything is just awful now. No, this is a Rockets team that's been playing really well, and I think largely they just ran out of gas. It's just because of what happened early in the year. They constantly are needing to make up for things that they've already lost, and at some point, you may be asking for too much. I don't think we're there yet, but we are starting to run out of time. Again, the Blazers are going to be tied with you in the loss column, and really in control of their own destiny because they control the 2-team tiebreaker. So as far as the Rockets are concerned, this is a game that they're going to need to make up if they really, in my opinion, want to get the kind of advantage playoff seed that, in my opinion, they probably need to have a chance to beat the Golden State Warriors 4 times out of 7. Anyway, with that, I think we can wrap it for tonight. Apologies for going a little long, but it's a bit depressing, so I thank you so much for listening and letting me air my grievances a bit with you on our podcast right here at Locked On Rockets. Houston is next in action on Friday night at home against the Spurs. As mentioned, it's a big game, so Toyota Center should be juiced. The Rockets, even with the loss, they've won 12 of 14. The Spurs, they've won 9 of 10. So two fan bases separated by less than 3 hours. It's a weekend home game. It should be a really fun environment. Hopefully the Rockets get the win. If they do, it can somewhat offset what happened tonight against the Grizzlies. Whatever happens, though, for better or for worse, we'll be right here at Locked On Rockets to break it all down. So if you have not subscribed to us already, please do. I mentioned all of our partners, which Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, but also the Himalaya app. All of those are places where you can find our most recent episodes. And of course, if you get in your car or you're working out, you can also tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Rockets and find our most recent episode that way as well. Also, before our next episode, if you want to check out live analysis, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, though, we also get a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All those are ways that you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, or inquire about how to become a potential advertiser of the program, just like our friends at DraftKings were today. Remember, before tomorrow morning's start to March Madness, download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com. Use the promo code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE. If you'd like to play with me and other Locked On Rockets listeners, then head to our Twitter or Facebook page. You can find a personal pin that you can use to enter our private Locked On Rockets listener group. So with those plugs complete, that's where I'll wrap it. Again, the unhappy final from Memphis this Wednesday evening. Grizzlies 126, Rockets 125 in overtime. Houston falls to 45-27, just their second loss in the past 14 games. A bit of a gut punch, but not too long to kind of feel sorry for yourselves because you've got to get back at it. Friday night, a big game against the aforementioned San Antonio Spurs. Until then, this is where I will leave off. As always, thanks for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.